Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Friday, September 30th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. We're back again. Mm-hmm. We took yesterday off so we could fine-tune our website, our homepage, make sure everything was all right with the increased bandwidth. And as it stands right now, everything seems to be running smoothly. But if you do happen to watch the show this weekend and it bogs out or freezes up, try it again or else try later on when there's less traffic. And what we're going to do over the weekend is keep fine-tuning things, work on our camera a little bit, and just try to make this site so accessible that everybody that wants to watch this show can watch it. And what we have right now is Wing TV is the first time that there's ever been an online television show without commercials and without sponsorship. So what it is we're offering a free television show, and we've thought, well, you know, since there's so many people watching now, would we want to charge people to watch this show? And we decided no.
No, because we've never felt comfortable charging for anything other than the books, the DVDs,
right,
or the CDs. And we're not here to rip you off as so many other people are,
right,
making a whole cottage industry of the nation's deceptions and tragedies.
Exactly.
We will maintain Wing TV as a free show,
right,
as long as we possibly can, and we're not about to stick our tin cup out in your face like a lot,
right,
of other people are doing.
And we see people like millionaire Greg Anderson, who runs GCN, or Ted Anderson, and we're just regular, everyday working people. And if we can afford bandwidth and if we can afford to put this show out there, we can't understand why a millionaire or other people similar to him that have a whole lot more money than us are charging pay-per-view for people to watch or tune into their site. So Wing TV is going to remain free as long as we're on the air, and we're never going to change that. And if you have any ideas about bandwidth or how we can make this show better, by all means, send us your ideas.
Right. Well, today we're going to have a great guest on once again, Mr. Mark Glenn.
Right.
Pulled up his
bio. Also, tonight, before we bring Mark on, we're going to make our first appearance to do our weekly radio show on Alex Merklinger's Mysteries of the Mind.
The weekly news hour wrap-up.
Right. And you can find his site at www.mysteriesofthemind.com. We're going to be on at 9 o'clock Eastern times, from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock, and that'll be every Friday from here on out. We were supposed to start 2 weeks ago, but with things happening with Alex and then with our schedule conflicts, so we delayed it 2 weeks, but it's going to start tonight,
mm-hmm,
so we hope everybody tunes in and checks that out. Now, as Lisa said, we're going to have a guest on today, Mr. Mark Glenn, and
author of the book, No Beauty in the Beast, and if Victor will move his arm for a second, I can hold up the book.
There you go.
Okay. The book is a fantastic book, all about Zionist influence and the dangers of Zionism over America and the world. And
cool.
We love
hey, Mark.
This guy.
Hey, Mark.
Hello.
Hey, we're live on Wing TV now. How are you doing today?
Hi, how are you?
Real good. Now, we're just holding up your book. As Lisa said, you're the author of No Beauty in the Beast,
mm-hmm,
one of the best books that's definitely come out this year. And as a matter of fact, starting next week, we're going to start carrying this book on the Wing TV homepage. So anyone that wants to take a look at it will be able to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mark, we brought you on today because there's a lot of stuff going on with Israel in the Gaza Strip with the Palestinians. And we know that you're one of the foremost experts on what's going on in the Middle East. So let me start off by asking you that several guests that we've had on our show the last couple months have said that this Gaza pullout is nothing but a ruse.
Right.
In other words, that what Ariel Sharon wanted to do was get all the Israelis out of there, then at the first moment go in and attack. Are things that simple?
It is that simple. There are many more layers to it than simply that, but basically the way that you've outlined it is correct.
Mm-hmm.
His goal, first of all, you have to realize that when you're dealing with Ariel Sharon and all of his fellow gangsters, you're dealing with people who do not recognize any of the norms of morality or pity or anything like that, or even justice. So the idea that somehow he had some type of a conversion or turnaround, and
mm-hmm,
this was what led him to evacuate Gaza, we can just dismiss that.
Right.
That's firstly. Secondly, what we have to keep in mind is that the Zionists, being that they are communists at heart, that they make their moves 30 steps in advance.
Uh-huh.
Now, taking that into account, when we're looking at what is taking place in Gaza, what he really is doing is, first of all, he's dumping a bad investment. He realizes that they're never going to be able to pacify Gaza the way that it is. You have
right.
to 9,000 Israeli settlers living among 1.5 million angry, destitute Palestinians. So, number one, he's dumping a bad investment. Number two, what he is doing, you have to remember that the central goal of Zionism from the beginning, one of the central goals of it, has been the retaking of Jerusalem.
Right.
Okay? Now, at present, Jerusalem is a city that is inhabited by Christians, Muslims, and Jews. And more importantly, what you have in Jerusalem is you have the Dome of the Rock, which is the second most holy site in Islam. And it is sitting right over the spot where the Temple of Solomon used to exist. His plan is, first of all, to run as many of the Palestinians out of Jerusalem as possible, and the West Bank in general, because that is where all the water is. And secondly, you know, they have been working for years on some type of plan to undermine the foundation of the Dome of the Rock and to bring it down so that they can begin rebuilding the temple that was destroyed in 70 A.D.
Okay, Mark. Let's change gears for a second here. Tom DeLay's name has been in the news all week. He's been indicted. Now, Tom DeLay is known to be a staunch supporter of Israel and resolutions on Capitol Hill that are all pro-Israel. So how do you think, what kind of impact will his departure have on Israel-U.S. relationships? Israeli groups say it won't have much impact at all because they control both houses on Capitol Hill in the Congress, and they have a strong support base in both parties.
Well, that's true. I mean, you have to look at Tom DeLay, even though he may be Speaker of the House, and even though he may hold a certain amount of weight in terms of what kind of public attention he gets in America, the fact of the matter is that he's just one of 500 or 600 members of our government that are totally under the control of this beast. So him going and being replaced by somebody else, this means nothing to them. Everybody in there has already sworn their allegiance to the Zionist state. It's obvious, given the information that has come out in the last 4 years, which has involved AIPAC and the sparring
right.
of Israel and the United States, the fact that Israel certainly played a hand in what took place on 9/11, and the fact that none of our elected members of Congress, save a few, such as Ron Paul, who have voiced any kind of concern over this, we know where their loyalty lies. So the fact that Tom DeLay maybe, and I say that maybe because we don't know what really is behind all of this, the fact that he has been indicted and that he may be removed from his seat of power, that means nothing to them. I mean, they may have orchestrated this whole thing to bring somebody in who's even more useful to them.
Yeah. Now, Mark, I want to follow up on my first question. Palestinian Authority Chairman Mahmoud Abbas said that Ariel Sharon is actually pleased with the events that happened last weekend. And his exact quote is that Sharon was just right waiting for the slightest provocation. Now he's happy. What's going through Ariel Sharon's mind right now as this Gaza attack continues?
Well, as you know, the Zionists from the beginning, they have made use of false flag operations in order to rally support of Jews around them and in order to gain sympathy from the world. Now, interestingly enough, I know this is kind of a side note, but we know that a few weeks ago there were some British soldiers who were arrested in Iraq by the Iraqi police. They were dressed up as Arabs, and they were about to carry out an act of terrorism. Now, we hear on a daily basis about suicide bombings going on in Iraq and all the rest of that. And there have been several instances like this where the British and the Americans have been caught red-handed involving themselves in some type of false flag operation. Of course, they're only doing what they have been taught to do by their Mossad buddies. So in terms of what is going on in Gaza right now and these other attacks that are going on, I mean, anybody who is watching this prior to the pullout, we saw this coming. We said when Sharon started positioning his troops in and around Gaza, many of us were made nervous by this because it was obvious that he was planning for a huge military operation.
Yeah.
And I have no doubt but that these attacks that are taking place in there are just part and parcel of this. I mean, after all, the Israelis, they have been caught several times within Israel itself, dressed as Palestinians, carrying explosives and things like that. course, Michael Rivero at whatreallyhappened.com, he keeps an archived photo on hand of the four Mossad agents who were arrested posing as fake Al-Qaeda.
Okay, Mark.
So, yes, ma'am.
I hate to cut you off there, but we have other questions we want to get into. Washington's pro-Israel lobby, AIPAC, has made pushing for sanctions on Iran its number one priority in recent months. And last week, Jewish communal leaders in New York urged world leaders to act against Tehran. Meanwhile, the Iranian president, in a speech before the UN General Assembly, wants a committee created to investigate Israel's nuclear activities. So where do you think this is going to go? Are the nations of the world that oppose Israel going to get something done? Are they going to stand up?
Well, there's no question about this. Anybody who has read the Project for the New American Century, anybody who has read A Clean Break, anybody who knows anything about the neocons knows that all of this stew that is coming to boil now, this has been sitting on the stove for quite a long time. This whole plan of reshaping the Middle East in order to suit Israel's needs, this is an old song and dance. So the fact that it's coming to a head now with Iran, although I would say we certainly need to keep a bigger eye, a more careful eye on what is going on in Iran, because Iran is not Iraq.
Okay? Right.
They are a well-funded, well-disciplined army, and they share alliances with the Russians. And interestingly enough, the Russians are conducting exercises right now with five of their ships in the Strait of Hormuz. I believe that's where it is.
Yeah, well,
so it's been made clear that the Russians are not going to sit by and allow, simply lay down as the Americans invade Iran.
Yeah,
so
recently...
Go ahead.
Yeah. Recently, 139 nations met with something called the International Atomic Energy Agreement, and they declared that Israel's nuclear programs are actually a menace to peace in the Middle East. So how can anybody justify saying that Iran is a nuclear threat without mentioning that Israel has 200 atomic warheads sitting in their country?
Well, of course, I mean, look, you're dealing with hypocrisy, and this entity, you know, this is one of the things that I pointed out in my book, this entity that we're dealing with now, this Zionist entity, this it's not new. It's been around for 2,000 years. It's the same entity that Christ waged war against, and the same hypocrisy that existed 2,000 years ago amongst these Pharisees is the same lifeblood that is funding and fueling this beast that we're dealing with today. So the fact that the people will be screaming over Iran having nuclear weapons. And by the way, I just went ahead. The whole idea that Iran's nuclear intentions are mainly just for making energy, I doubt that. Anybody that's right now, any world leader anywhere in the world right now is looking for nuclear weapons and looking for them yesterday.
Right.
It's already been demonstrated what happens to countries that cannot defend themselves.
Okay, Mark.
Yes, ma'am.
Sorry to cut you off again. Robert Fisk was quoted in December 2000 saying that the degree of abuse and outright threats against anyone, academic, analyst, or reporter, who dares to criticize Israel or speak out about the Palestinian uprising has reached McCarthyite proportions, and the situation only worsened after 9/11. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Well, absolutely. I mean, after all, I'm sure that both of you are aware of the pending bill that is due to be signed in the Senate, it's hard to guess the House, which would set up a bureaucracy, an anti-hate bureaucracy. The same kind of laws that stifle free speech around the world now have made their way to America through the patronage of the Anti-Defamation League, which is just a domestic branch of Israel's Mossad.
Mm-hmm.
So the day is coming where people like you and I and others who dare to speak out against this thing may be facing prison time or some type of fines or something like that. So you have to understand that when you're dealing with tyrannical ideologies, they cannot stomach any kind of free speech or free thought, because this is like water on their fire. So it only makes sense that at some point they would attempt making a move like this against us.
Right. Well, tell us now about Ariel Sharon versus Benjamin Netanyahu. It looks like Ariel Sharon won round one, didn't he?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you have to understand, yes, these men, they're all gangsters, and at some point gangsters, even though they may cooperate for a certain amount of time, eventually they begin running into each other. Their agendas are not necessarily parallel. And so it makes perfect sense that at some point Sharon and Netanyahu, or really anybody within the power structure, that they will begin this type of infighting, because what you're talking about is power, and everybody there wants it. I don't know for sure if this is genuine in and of itself. I mean, obviously, we have to be circumspect about any information that we see coming out of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So this supposed rift between Netanyahu and Sharon, it may be real, it may not be real. It may be something just to make it look like that there isn't this Leviathan that we're facing. But at this point, what I would say is it's too early to tell.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking before the show on the phone, and I was telling you that U.S. plays the role of occupier in Iraq and enabler in Palestine. So considering the staggering amount of foreign aid we give Israel every year, you would think that the United States would be in the power position when it comes to Israel, yet there's a lot of controversy about that. So who controls who?
That's a good question. I think ultimately what you have is obviously, we have a government that runs policy in our country, and you have the Zionists who run our government. At the same time, I think that the Zionists I think that they understand that there is a shelf life to America's usefulness. I think that at a certain point, they will, right before this sleeping giant does begin to wake up, I believe that we are going to get a dose of what Israel has been doing to everybody.
Yeah.
And I don't just mean over the course of the last 50 years, but rather over the course of the last several centuries, okay, when we're talking about the Jewish supremacist agenda.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, it's I hate to be so vulgar in its use, but it's like the business arrangement that is used between a prostitute and her customer, okay? Both of them are using each other,
yeah.
Okay? Both of them want something. Neither of them have any loyalty to the other. It's just a matter of who has the greater hand at a particular moment, okay?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I hate to use an analogy that's so vulgar and base, but I don't think that we can say that at any one point one is controlling the other. And at one, like I said, obviously if I had to come down on one side, I would say the Zionists are controlling the American government.
Yeah,
but I think that they are eyeing the escape route. They are eyeing the exit. They know that there is a certain point at which they're going to have to jump ship, so to speak, and find some other host.
Yeah. Now, Mark, everybody knows Cindy Sheehan, and we actually appeared on Hesham Talawi's radio show with her.
Mm-hmm.
We got a chance to meet her down in D.C. at the anti-war rally, and she came out recently and really gave it to Hillary Clinton for not speaking out against the war. But it seems like none of the Democrats, or very few of them, are coming out against this war. And
well,
one explanation
they left town during the demonstrations.
Yeah. And one explanation is that so many of them receive money from AIPAC, which is the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, that if they do speak out against this war, that AIPAC will pull it out, their donations to them. So what do you think about that?
Well, of course. I mean, all we need to do is look back a few years to when Clinton was in power. And we were involved in the bombing in Afghanistan, in Sudan, and then at least a month-long bombing campaign in Iraq. We didn't hear a peep from the Democratic Party. In fact, when the critics did come forth and, from the Republican side and began criticizing Clinton for his bombing campaign in Iraq, which really was just being done to distract the American people from what was taking place with the Lewinsky scandal,
mm-hmm.
The Democrats didn't have anything to say about it. Yes, they are totally in the pockets of the Israeli lobby as well. And incidentally, most of the protesting that has taken place over the course of the last 2 years since the war began, it really is not something that has been done on principle on the part of the Democrats. It's really only because it isn't their man who is in power.
Right, exactly.
If Gore had been elected, or if Kerry had been elected, I mean, we knew this back during the campaign last year. Kerry was very clear on this, that the policy in the Middle East would not change.
Right, it was political theater.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, Mark, before we go today, tell everyone how they can find your radio show that you recently began.
Okay, yes. Hesham Talawi, who has a weekly television show known as Current Issues, he and I are doing a weekly radio show now, and it's called the Crescent and Cross Solidarity Hour. It is dedicated to discussing the issues of what is taking place in the Middle East, and Zionism in general, from the Islamic and Christian perspective. We have been fed a smorgasbord of lies concerning
right.
this supposed enmity that exists between the Christians and the Muslims, and he and I, by doing this program, are trying to dispel these lies. So you can access the program at the network is known as www.365.org. Live.com. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you'll have to download a little player, but it's a very small program. And it's Tuesday nights at, let's see, I got to get this right because I'm on the Pacific Coast. It's Tuesday nights, 6 o'clock Pacific time.
Okay.
If you have any questions, you can email me at mrkglenn@yahoo.com. And I'll provide you with the links that you need in order to get
okay. Great. Once again, that's mrkglenn@yahoo.com. Mark's the author of No Beauty in the Beast. Fantastic book.
Must read.
Right. And Mark, just thank you for coming on today for clarifying some of these.
Before he goes, tell everybody again how they can get your book.
Oh, okay. Obviously you can get it through Victor and Lisa, who will be carrying it next week. But if you would like to help me out a little bit as well, you can go to my website at www.notmywords.com. And you can find everything you need there to either get the hardcover or the PDF file.
Very good. Well, thank you so much, Mark. And this is a volatile situation over there, and it seems like we're not getting the entire picture from our mainstream media.
And we appreciate your courage in standing up and telling the truth.
Hey, it's same to you guys.
All right.
Guys, like I told you before, you are prophets without honor.
Well, thank you so much, Mark. We'll talk soon, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be back on Monday, another edition of Wing TV. We hope everyone has a good weekend. Give us any suggestions. We hope that everything's good with the bandwidth now.
And so think about what you can do to stand up and help fight this New World Order tyranny.
And last but not least, tune in to Alex Merklinger's Mysteries of the Mind tonight at 9 o'clock. Until then, keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on.
See you then.